KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails. So on Friday, the governor vetoed Senate Bill 910. Now, you may not know what that is, but we're going to be finding out a little bit more about that. Joining me via telephone this morning from the Humboldt Trails Council, we've got Nancy Stevenson. And from the California Bicycle Coalition, we've got Jim Brown. Thank you to the both for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I asked Jim to join us today, like you said, with the California Bicycle Coalition. And he was one of the major the communications director for that organization. And a bill for this SB 910 bill that has been was passed by our legislature and needed to get its signature from Governor Brown. He's had years of experience as a writer in the Sacramento area, a lot of it focused on public policy issues, and he did a great job. The whole organization did a fantastic job at bringing this to everyone's attention. They got plenty of support from all around the state, from all kinds of groups, and all kinds of ages and all kinds of users, from car drivers and bicyclists alike. Everybody supported this bill, and it got shot down at the last minute in a very frustrating and confusing way. So we were hoping this radio chat would be all about the victory of it and how we're moving forward, but unfortunately, it didn't work that way, and it's certainly not over yet. And hopefully Jim can excuse me, give us some insight about what happened and what our next steps are.
Absolutely. I mean, the thing is that it's it had a lot of, as you said, Nancy, had a lot of support, a lot of public support by some high-profile people, including Lance Armstrong, who gave it his very, very strong endorsement as well. And a lot of people thinking that since Governor Brown is rather forward-thinking governor, that this would get passed, but he shot it down. Jim, why do you think that is the case?
Well, you know, he's required to issue a message explaining his reason for vetoing a bill, and he, in his veto message, he cites some concerns that we've heard from the CHP all along about a provision of the bill that would allow folks who can't give a bicyclist 3 feet to slow down to 15 miles an hour in order to pass a bicyclist at a smaller distance. And CHP all along has said that they are concerned that this is somehow going to cause people to slam on their brakes when they realize they can't give 3 feet, and that that's going to cause rear-end collisions. As far as we can tell, this is complete speculation on CHP's part. We don't have any evidence that this has occurred anyplace else that have in any of the other states that have 3-foot laws.
So let's before we go much further, Jim, let us explain what the Senate Bill 910 was all about. It was basically about giving safe passing for cyclists.
That's right. The current law, the existing law, states that a driver, when overtaking another vehicle, and we're talking about overtaking in the sense of coming up behind somebody and moving around them in the same lane of travel, when overtaking another vehicle or a bicycle, must pass at a, quote, safe distance, end quote. But the statute doesn't say anything about what that safe distance is, so it's a little bit like saying you have to drive at a safe speed, but we're not going to tell you what that safe speed is. So, as you can imagine, drivers are left to figure it out for themselves. And, you know, if I were a driver, I'd be pretty unhappy to discover that I had guessed wrong when I either hit a bicyclist or I get pulled over for unsafe passing. So, to make this a little more clear for everybody, we proposed specifying that 3 feet was the minimum clearance required when a driver was going to pass a bicyclist from behind under most circumstances. We just touched on the exception to that was contained in the bill. Where 3 feet isn't available, a driver can pass at a closer distance at no more than 15 miles an hour. And that's really meant for dense urban situations where extra space just isn't really available. The bill also would for folks up in your area on narrow two-lane roads separated by a solid double yellow center line would allow drivers to cross the double yellow center line in order to pass a bicyclist by at least 3 feet. And this is the three-foot provision is the law in 20 states and the District of Columbia and a handful of other major cities. I believe Oklahoma City has a city ordinance to this effect.
Okay, so there are several municipalities that have this into effect, and 20 full states have this in effect as well. Now, you're telling me off-air that some of these laws have been in effect since the 70s. Is that correct?
That's correct. The concept of a minimum specified passing distance seems to have evolved out of either North Carolina or Virginia. I'm a little fuzzy on the history of this, back in the late 50s, early 60s, and that was for cars passing other cars. In 1973, Wisconsin enacted the first state law specifying 3 feet as a minimum passing distance for cars passing bicycles. Minnesota enacted one in the mid-80s. Arizona enacted the third state law in 2000. The most recent states to enact this law are this year, Georgia, Kansas, and Nevada. Nevada's law took effect on October 1st.
Now, if my data is correct, the most lethal type of bicycle and car accidents are these ones where the cyclist is hit from behind when the vehicle just does not give enough distance for passing. Is that correct?
The figure I've heard is that about 11% of vehicle collisions involving bicycles are passing from behind situations, but about 40% of all fatalities involve passing from behind situations.
Sure.
So it's not the most common type of vehicle collision with bicycles, but it's the most lethal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I should say locally, our RCHP, which gave Governor Brown some concern about the details there, from what I've read, our local CHP was in support of it in different ways. I see here that Gary Alto from our Alto Brothers Trucking, we have a lot of big trucks from the lumber industry up here, they did some sort of experiment down on Clam Beach Road where they had the CHP there in his truck, and they were filming a documentary of bicyclists going down the road and then a big truck just kind of roaring by at about 3 feet or close by, and they just ran a test, and they could see how the bike just wobbled with the truck's turbulence flying right by it. You know, and I think locally officers are just asked not to cite drivers who, I mean, locally we kind of have it in effect in some ways, but not cite drivers who do go across the double yellow line to give some space to a bicyclist as long as, you know, they're not endangering somebody coming from the other side.
I just completed a ride, 140-mile ride from West Marin County up into the Redwood Valley north of Ukiah, and it was over a couple of days, and it was mostly on narrow two-lane roads, farm roads, and there was a fair bit of traffic, and very few people hesitated to cross the double yellow to give us space. And so, you know, what that tells me is there's something wrong with the law if drivers have to choose between breaking the law or doing the right thing to protect bicyclists.
So, Jim, let me ask you this. Since this has been in effect for so long in many different places, there's data that can be harvested from this. First off, has this law lowered bicycle accidents and bicycle fatalities?
Data collection in bicycling is always spotty, and there are some reasons for this. Partly, it has to do with you know, how money is spent to collect this data. We don't have hard and fast numbers, certainly not aggregate numbers from all the other states. A lot of states view this more as an educational opportunity than strictly an enforcement opportunity. In other words, it's a way to educate people about how to share the road safely with bicyclists.
It seems common sense.
Well, it does seem common sense, and in my experience, most people are going to give me enough space on the road. But what concerns me is that under existing law, they have to guess what is the right amount of space,
right.
And it just doesn't seem fair to them. And the problem, the big concern we have with this, and really the reason we're looking at this kind of law is, you know, there's a lot of research to suggest that a whole lot more people would consider riding their bicycles for transportation, but they say they won't do it until they feel safe sharing the road. So we have a great potential increase in bicycle ridership out there, but we have to do some things to make the road safer before they're willing to do that. Now, obviously, what happens when you get more people on the road is the rate of vehicle collisions goes down. It turns out that increasing bicycle ridership depresses the rate of collisions.
That's so interesting.
It actually prevents collisions of all types. And so that makes the road safer. And, of course, you get more people on bicycles, you have healthier people, you have cleaner air, you have less traffic congestion. So,
now, is that because it's more commonplace? You just see it, you're not surprised by seeing a cyclist on the side of the road?
I think that's it. I mean, there's a pretty well-known study within the bicycling world called Safety in Numbers. The author is Peter Jacobson. If you Google it, you'll find it. It's on our website, I believe. Yes, it is on our website. And he was able to demonstrate that the rates of vehicle-bike collisions goes down in cities where, or locations where bicycle ridership goes up. And you know, my understanding of that is that it just kind of changes the ecosystem. When you get more bicyclists out there, you have greater awareness on the part of drivers. And, of course, the thing to remember is that most bicyclists also drive cars. So some of that increased ridership is our drivers who are on bicycles. And when they get back behind the wheel of their car, they're that much more conscious. I know my driving habits have improved dramatically as a result of riding my bike a lot, because I'm just so much more aware of where I am on the road in relation to bicyclists.
Okay, so Jim, we asked you if the bill that's in existence in states where it's been there has decreased bike accidents. That information is a little fuzzy. What about the other side of the coin, the side of the coin that the governor and the CHP is raising, that this law will increase accidents? What kind of data do you have on that?
We have not seen an increase in vehicle collisions as the result of enactment of 3-foot laws. You know, it's important to remember that the laws vary somewhat from state to state. Our law is a little bit different in the sense that, or our bill is a little bit different in the sense that it includes this 15-mile-an-hour portion. But most laws we refer to as pure 3-foot laws make no exceptions. So essentially, you would expect the same thing to happen, right? You know, if there isn't 3 feet, you're going to come on your brakes because you can't go anywhere.
Right.
You have to give the bicyclist 3 feet. So we polled Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Arizona because they've had the laws the longest. They have more than 70 years combined under these laws. And the bicycle advocacy organizations in those states said there's been no increase in collisions that are related to any of this. So, you know, this was an argument put forth by the CHP and its close ally, the AAA, but they were never able, in any legislative hearings where this was discussed, they were never able to put forward any evidence of this actually happening. So as far as we're concerned, it's just speculation and not really based in any fact.
Well, now that, unfortunately, the bill has been vetoed, and what's the next step?
Well, our first step is to see if we can actually schedule a meeting with the governor. You know, his veto message says, I encourage the author, proponents, and opponents to send me a bill next year that solves these problems. We're not entirely clear what problems he is pointing to, but he's invited us to consider returning with this bill. So we'd like to sit down with him and talk more about why he vetoed this bill, what he still may feel unclear about concerning existing law and what this law would do. And once we know a little better what our where he stands, we will, you know, obviously we'll consider whether reintroducing this bill would make any sense. You know, if he's telling us that telling us to send him a pure 3-foot bill with no exceptions, we're happy to do that. We included the exceptions in this bill to make drivers happy. Clearly, that didn't work with the CHP or the AAA, so that's fine. We'll take those exceptions out. And if that's the case, we're happy to take this bill back. But we don't know for sure at this point what he's going to tell us and what we're going to decide as a result. But you know, the other way to look at this is that this is an invitation for a larger discussion. You know, it may be the case that he says to us, "What else do you have on your mind?" It's our chance to find out from him whether he's got any particular interests or goals related to bicycling that we could help with. So, right now, it's unclear where he stands.
What about the AAA? It sounds like the Auto Association has had a lot of muscle in keeping this from happening. And I know they heard quite a bit from bicycle users across the state that they supported this bill. They seem like they need to be brought into the conversation, too, if they're going to have that much influence.
Well, you know, they've made their position pretty clear. They would prefer to see a law that's optional. They would prefer to see a law that says, you know, we want you to give 3 feet unless you can't. We think that's a ridiculous position.
That's not very effective.
You know, imagine saying you can go 25 miles an hour in a school zone unless you really don't think you can do that, and then you can go as fast as you like. You know, that's not a reasonable position. AAA varies a lot from state to state. The national organization's partnering with the League of American Bicyclists on a Share the Road campaign. That's pretty ironic. We have AAA South supported Georgia's 3-foot law. AAA Oklahoma supported Oklahoma's law. AAA of New England supported Maine's law. But
what's
California chapters have traditionally been hostile to bicycle interests, and I don't see that changing, although they did lose a fair bit of business from bicyclists as a result of their opposition to this bill.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're continuing to point our members and bicyclists in California to other options besides AAA, because AAA isn't really operating in the interest of California bicyclists right now.
That might be a good campaign, a good public awareness to put a little more pressure on them. I think so.
Yes, indeed.
So, Jim, let me ask you this. Since the governor is saying, you know, come back with a new proposal, is he, you know, because he feels that this, the way it looked, wasn't appropriate or not safe or not doable, what about proposals about, you know, increasing trail systems in California?
Well, certainly it would be wonderful to, it would certainly be wonderful to look at bicycle infrastructure of all types, including trail systems. Unfortunately, right now, that's a funding problem primarily. You know, we're very interested in seeing California move towards a more progressive set of standards with respect to bicycle facilities. There are a lot of interesting facilities out there that help people feel a lot safer when they're on their bicycle. Separated trails and paths are one way to do that. In cities like San Francisco and New York and Long Beach, Portland, you're seeing what are called separated bikeways or bike paths, which are on-street bike lanes, but with a more of a physical separation between the bicycle traffic and the vehicle traffic. Those have proven to be popular and safer in some cities. The problem really is that we're trying to deal with is that California currently lacks official standards for those kinds of facilities, and so those are still considered experimental in California. And you know, with a more enlightened approach to mobility at agencies like Caltrans, we could begin to see a lot more interest in the kind of facilities you and I are talking about, path systems. On-street systems of various kinds.
California is the second and, I guess, the largest state to adopt the complete streets laws and policies, and it's going to take a while to get those designed and built and operating safely. But in theory, you know, part of the state, some aspects of it are moving forward with making safer, you know, ways of transportation for non-vehicles as well, non-motorized options. So I think the bill would have really helped in the meantime to protect bicyclists. But overall, certainly we need to, you know, get the message out there that it is safe to get on your bike and ride your bike. And that's the most important thing we need to impress. Then more people will actually get on their bike and it'll just, you know, raise awareness in general. But the Complete Streets effort certainly seems like California is moving in the right direction.
All right.
Well, it is, and the irony here is that we were the sponsors of the Complete Streets Act of 2008, and it was the result of the failure of our previous attempt at a three-foot bill. Our previous three-foot bill was defeated very quickly by the Transit Union and the CHP in the first legislative hearing back in 2007. And one of the ways that we moved on from that was to look at some other kinds of safety measures. And Complete Streets was the bill that we began pursuing. And, you know, it obviously has a much longer-term trajectory. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's going to be the long-term, you know, a long-term solution to getting more people on bikes when we can design and operate streets to accommodate everyone. But since we don't yet have a road system that works that well, we need some clearer rules on how to share the road.
Right.
And making it very clear that, you know, specifying, for example, clearly specifying a passing distance is one way to create a rule that allows us to share the roads a little more.
Well, it seems like a logical first step, that is for certain. And, Nancy, you're talking about how, you know, California is very progressive in things like the Complete Streets. It looks like we just need to get all the various different agencies to get on board with the concept and move past old ways of doing things.
Well, and Cliff, I just want to add, you know, Caltrans, as we were pursuing the Complete Streets Act, Caltrans revised its own internal policy as it relates to bicycle and pedestrian traffic to embrace the Complete Streets principles.
Wonderful.
And they refer to it as their Complete Streets policy. So you know, Caltrans is an example of agencies that are actually taking some fairly bold steps in the right direction. So you know, we're getting there piecemeal, and you know, it's ironic that California would be the largest state to have a statewide Complete Streets policy. And one of the first to do that, and yet here we are not able to join 20 other states that already have a three-foot law in place.
Yeah, well, we are unfortunately out of time, but Jim, I wish you best of luck in getting to, first of all, meet with the governor, find out what his concerns are, and retooling this and getting it resubmitted a year from now, and I look forward to an unbridled success.
Me too. Thank you very much, Cliff. I appreciate it. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate it. Cliff, can I say a quick plug for one thing coming up?
Please do.
It's the Bigfoot Bicycle Club is having a trail building work day on Saturday down the King Range, the Paradise Royale mountain bike loop, and you can go to bigfootbicycle.org and get more information about that. It sounds like a lot of fun and a good time getting this trail connected to Shelter Cove. Free camping, barbecue, hot showers, good times.
All righty. Thank you much, Nancy.
Right.
And thank you, Jim Brown. And if this conversation was interesting to you, you want to share it with other people, listen to it again, or listen to any other conversations that we've had on Happy Trails thus far, all archived as podcasts at iTunes and at KHUM.com.
Happy Trails to you.